Radio Cross. At the cross we find salvation in Jesus. Today's message is the third of our eight-part teaching series, The Favor of God, by Pastor Errol Rennie from Oasis Ministries from Fishhook, South Africa.
I mentioned to you last week about Psalm 91, and as we prepare to read, I just want to say that, you know, we've come to notice more and more on Sundays that God is really visiting us in a special way. And I wonder if you realize how privileged we are. Because I have spoken to some people now and then, and they tell me that they go to church because they're seeking after God, they're looking for this and they're looking for that, and they come away feeling empty and dry. And I'm not condemning any church. I'm just saying that we are so privileged. But you know, that also depends so much upon you. If you come with an expectant heart. You know, there's a scripture that came to mind that as we were worshiping here, and there were people like those people testifying, and there were expressions made, and the way in which we do things may be different. And I was reminded of the day that for many, many years I was in bondage because I wanted to worship God the way that the church told me to. I wanted to worship God the way other Christians told me to. But when I learned the secret of where Jesus said that we must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. What's in your heart? Amen. Worship the Lord from your heart. And the fortunate thing about this little fellowship is that when we worship the Lord from our heart, and it may seem so different to other people, the love that is here accepts Amen. That. Amen. Nobody thinks you're strange. Nobody thinks you're different or weird because you worship in spirit and in truth. It's like when you declare your love to your partner, your wife or your husband. You don't go and declare that love and say, well, so-and-so said I must say it like this. You speak from your heart when you declare your love. How are you feeling? And I just want to ask you to give yourself the pleasure of worshiping the Lord as the Spirit tells you to. As the Spirit tells you to. Because it's just between you and God. Okay? Psalm 91. Beautiful psalm. Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, you are my defender and protector, you are my God, in you I trust. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers, from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings and you will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. You need not fear the dangers at night or sudden attacks during the day, or the plagues that strike in the dark, or the evil that kills at daylight. 1,000 may fall dead beside you, 10,000 all around you, but you will not be harmed. You will look and see, but the wicked are punished. You have made the Lord your defender, the Most High your protector, and no disaster will strike you. No violence will come near your home. Amen. God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands and keep you from hurting your feet on the stones. Amen. You will trample down lions and snakes, fierce lions and poisonous snakes. God says, now listen to this, God says, I will save those who love me. Amen. And will protect those who know me as Lord. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they're in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them. Amen. What a wonderful psalm of praise, a psalm of comfort, a psalm of consolation, a psalm of God's favor upon our lives. You know, the thought crossed my mind as I was preparing on Friday that I must say to you this morning, if you think you've had enough of me teaching on favor, then you better tell me. Because I'm not going to stop until I'm spent on the subject of favor, because the more I study this subject and the more I want to teach it, the greater comes the realization that this is such an enormous and wonderful thing that God has for us. Amen. That we can live a life of our favor. That God loves us so much that He wants nothing but the best for us.
Amen.
God has got a plan. And the plan is that He wants us to share His goodness.
Amen.
I love the story that Esther told this morning. Because I agree with that, that Esther said that God puts things into place long before the time. And He brings it all together in a specific time and place. And all of that to declare His love and His favor over people's lives. And I really honestly believe that God wants us to experience His favor and His goodness. And He wants us to reflect that goodness. And He wants us to reflect that love to this sin-sick, struggling world.
Amen.
Because when the world sees that we are living and trusting according to God's favor, that they will be attracted to Him because of us. That they will be attracted to Him because of us. And then to accept His invitation, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, as Savior, personal Savior and Lord. But my friend, you may be, after listening to this now for 3 weeks, you may say, but I've got so many faults. There's so many things, so many failures. Will God still destine me for favor in my life? We have to understand that past sin and failure cannot stand in the way of God's favor. Because if that were the case, then we'd say that God is limited in what He can do and what He wants to do. Your past failures, our past failures and sin, cannot prevent us receiving favor. But unbelief can. Unbelief can prevent us from receiving the favor that God's got in mind for us. And I must ask you a very pertinent question. Maybe it's impertinent. Are you satisfied with where you are right now in God? I'm so glad I didn't hear many people say yes. I repeat the question. Are you satisfied with where you are in God right now? Because if you can say, yes, I'm satisfied, it means that you have reached the end of God's provision. That you've exhausted His stores. And you've got everything that He had to offer. And the moment you can say that, then you become bored. Some word which I really, it's a word I despise, I must be honest. And when I hear my children or my grandchildren saying, I'm bored. And I say, you know. Do something. But life is so full. There's so much to experience that we don't have to be bored. But boredom is something which is significant in the world we're living right now. Because when people get it in the attention of something that draws their attention and they learn as much as they can about it and it becomes an old story, then they become bored. But with God, it's not like that.
Amen.
There's so much of God. There's so much that God wants to share with us. There's still so much that because of God's favor that He wants us to have, that we'll never get to the end of it. We used to sing a song many years ago, when I've reached the end of my hoarded resources, God's fullness has just begun.
Alleluia.
I still believe that.
Yes.
If there's been no growth in you spiritually, if you could answer that question, say that, I'm satisfied and there's no growth. If there's a lack of true joy in our lives, I want you to remember this. The verse taken from 2 Corinthians 5:19. Our message, says Paul, is that God was making all human beings His friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins. And He has given us the message which tells us how He makes them His friends. There's a scripture says that when we repent of our sin, God removes them, never to be remembered anymore.
Amen.
There's also a song that says that He breaks the power of cancel sin, He sets the prisoner free. So when we are bound, when we are locked, when we are kept in bondage by past sin, then it blocks off God's favor because we're focusing too much on the things that we did wrong. And we condemn ourselves with that. We must stop getting to the idea that every day I must check to see if I'm doing something wrong that's going to make God not love me, and God's going to zap me, and God's going to make me miserable, and God's going to punish me. If you're living like it, my friend, you have all my sympathy, but I want to tell you, break away from that.
Amen.
God is not a God of condemnation.
Hallelujah.
And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone, and that includes all of us, who is joined to Christ is a new being, a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. If God could not use anyone with past failures, the Bible would have far less stories of God's blessing in using people. Peter denied Jesus. David, despite all, was a man after God's heart. Saul was a murderer. Jeremiah suffered from depression. Elijah ran from Queen Jezebel. Lot chose to live in Sodom. Noah got drunk. Samson was a womanizer. Zechariah did not believe in the angel's message. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Timothy had stomach trouble. Zacchaeus was too short.
That's right.
But God used every one of them.
Amen.
His favor was on every one of them. So, well, my friend, if you're too short, Irene, if you perhaps... I would hate to say, I hope there's no womanizers here. If you suffer from depression, if you doubt, if you fear, if whatever you label what you put on yourself. Arlene, I love you, eh? I didn't mean to insult you. But whoever you are so precious to God that no matter what you look like, no matter what your station in life is, no matter what your appearance is, no matter how big or short you are, God uses you because the person inside of you is bigger than what appears to us. You've heard the story about it's not the size of the fight that the dog's in, it's the size of the fight that's in the dog. My brother, my sister, if only I can get this message so firmly rooted in your heart and in your soul that you are so special.
Amen.
And the reason you're special is because you are born again.
Amen.
You have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling you. None of us are perfect. None of these people that I mentioned to you are perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. And yet, God blessed them with His favor. Oh, you know, I wish that I knew this message from my heart 20 years ago. Yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the day that I was ordained.
Amen.
And for years and years in the ministry, I suffered from so many things that depressed me, that worried me, that hindered me, that bound me. And I thank God, I can't even tell you when it was. I think it was the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that I was set free.
Hallelujah.
I think that was the day. I can't know. But all I know is that if I knew then what I knew now, wow. But I'm so grateful that I'm living in God's favor today. God wants to bless us with His favor. And I'm asking the question, why do we not allow Him to bless us with His favor? But you may ask the legitimate question, say, but how do I do that? Well, it's a strange thing. You know, there's a Greek word which describes it beautifully. It's the word catharsis. Now, catharsis is something that you can describe, if I can say to you, if you're having some physical ailment that can only be corrected by having an operation. You have to go through, it's like when I had my knees replaced. The doctor said to me, it's going to be difficult, you're going to have pain, everything is going to be there, you're going to have to struggle, etc., etc., etc. So I prepared myself for that. But that was a catharsis experience. I had to go through the pain in order to walk well today. There's a man that I used to see in the gym when I used to go to the gym here somewhere. And he was a man who used to work on the boats. And he had the same problem I had with his knees. And he used to walk with great difficulty. And he had to come to the gym every day just to keep his knees loose so that he could have some form of mobility. I saw him walking in the mall the other day. He can hardly walk. He walks with two sticks. And I thought to myself, I don't want to make him feel bad, but I can go up to him and say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. But you know what? I went through the pain and the difficulty of having two knees replaced, and praise the Lord, I walk fish at beaks, length, backwards and forwards, Jagger's walk. Wherever I go, I walk. Sometimes I feel like running. But the catharsis is I have to go through the pain in order to get the gain.
Amen.
Now, when you ask the question, how can I ask God for his favor? God may well allow you to go through some pain in order to gain.
Amen.
For some people, that pain may be dying to self. It may well be admitting that I don't have all the answers in my life. It may well be that I come face to face with a situation or a difficulty that I have no answers for. And I'm going to cry and say, God, if you don't help me, there's nobody else who can help me. When you can attain that peace, that frame of mind, when you can say, Lord, I need your favor. Because I know that you can help me. And when we can do that transition in our thinking, where you can say that God is able. Yes, God is able to do anything. And because of that, I want to live in that expectation that whatever I'm facing, whatever it is, as Linda said this morning, it's not just about money. There are so many things that we're going to go through. If you are struggling, if you're expecting something, if you're trying to do something, or if you're facing a problem, or if you're going somewhere, it doesn't matter where you go, whatever happens in your life, you get up in the morning and you say, praise the Lord, I'm living in God's favor. Whatever I need to do today, God is going to help me to do it. He's going to go with me where I have to go. He's going to find that parking spot for me. Yes, I am so simplistic in my faith that I believe. Sometimes Linda puts me to shame and I look at the traffic and I say, oh boy. And she says, where's your faith? When we find ourselves threatened with difficulty, it seems to me that that's the best place or the best time to say, Lord, I need your favor.
Amen.
And when we start living with that expectation, when we start living with a lack of fear, when we start living with a sense of knowing that God is on my side,
hallelujah,
and he will do whatever he can do to make my life easier. There's somebody here in this building today that shared a testimony with us this morning, but it will be known sometime in the future. And when this testimony was told, I said, praise the Lord, that's favor.
Amen.
But at the present moment, we're not at liberty to tell you about it, so just hang in there. Let's take for a moment and look at Job. Now, you know what Job went through, eh? Satan came to God one day. So Job lived a very righteous life. And Satan came to God one day and he said to him, God said to him, where have you been? And he said, oh, I've just been wandering here and fro on the earth. And God said, did you come across my servant Job? And Satan said, yes, I did. And God said, he's a very blessed man, isn't he? He's a very righteous man. And Satan said to him, yeah, but take away everything you've given him and check out and see if he's still going to be so righteous. And God said, fine. I put him in your hands, but just don't kill him. In a few weeks' time, days' time, Job lost all his cattle, all his camels, all his oxen, all his sheep, all his children. And the buildings that they were living in were smashed. So Job goes through an incredible time where he eventually goes and sits on a refuse dump, and his body comes out in boils. and he scratches the pus out of the boils of a piece of old potsherd, shard. His wife comes and nags him and he says to him, why didn't you just curse God and die because you're so miserable that you're worthless? His friends come, his three friends come, so-called friends come and trying to encourage him. And they go through all sorts of things trying to tell him why he's so miserable or why God's punished him. That's where the Afrikaans expression comes from, Job's troosters, you know, Job's comforters. But right in the middle of this incredible trial, Job says, Father God, you have granted me life and favor. And your care has preserved my spirit. This is one of the most incredible verses I've come across in the Bible to do with favor.
Where is it?
Job. In Job. Sorry, I didn't write the reference down. But read Job, you'll find it. You have granted me life. I'm alive. Where there's life, there's hope. You granted me favor that I'm still here. And your care has preserved my spirit. Notice that Job used the word spirit. That is why, despite what was happening to him physically, covered in sores, living out in the open, despite what was happening to his emotions, his soul, where he was sitting arguing with his friends, listening to his nagging wife and preventing himself from clapping her, all those emotions that were stirring within him, despite all of that, his spirit has been preserved and was still in active contact with God. Now, can you picture this? And you think that you've got problems. His spirit was preserved. Lois, despite what you're feeling in your heart, your spirit is being preserved.
Amen.
And I say that to all of you going through a difficulty. Job had lost everything except his wife and his trust in God. Now some scholars say that Job's experience went between three months and 9 months in extent. And when Job was at the darkest point, God turned his situation around with favor. And he got double for his trouble. He had 7 children, were killed. He then had 14 children. You go look in the Bible. If he had 600 camels that were destroyed or taken away by enemy, God gave him 1,200 camels. And you go look in the Bible, read it, you'll find everything that he had lost, God gave him double. Double for his trouble. And my friend, I want to tell you this morning, my precious brother and sister, God wants to do the same for you.
Amen.
Your past history and sins are under the blood of Jesus. And they cannot, will not ever separate you from God's favor. But you may think and say, well, that sounds great, Errol. I've listened to you for the past 3 weeks and it sounds good. But I never see it in my life. I go to church. You see me on Sundays. I pray. I read my Bible. But I just never see God's favor in my life. Is that true? I doubt it. And we ask the question, why is it that people are not experiencing this? And my answer simply is this. They believe in the favor of God, but they do not believe God for his favor.
Amen.
That's a difference.
Yeah.
That's a difference. And I always come back to the verse where the Bible says that, did you believe in God? Wonderful. The devil believes in him too and shudders. Mm-hmm. But he is not going to go to heaven. Friends, I want to tell you and reiterate this morning that you are just as special as those who are experiencing God's favor. Some people have the attitude and say, I believe. I will believe it when I see it. God knows where I live. He's got my address. He knows where to find me. And if he wants to favor me, he knows where to find me. No, my friend, it's not just that. It's not a one-sided thing. Everything that you and I have in our spiritual experience comes by faith. It's by faith that we are saved through grace. It is by faith that we are healed. It is by faith that we are delivered from difficult situations. And the same is true about God's favor. If we believe Him for His supernatural favor, we will receive it. You've got to believe it to receive it. And your inability to believe that God wants to favor you may well be the result of a bad relationship that you had with your own earthly father. I promise you that Linda and I have counseled quite a lot of people in our time. And so often when we talk to people about their relationship with God, they just can't seem to get a breakthrough. Until we reach the point where we say, what was your relationship with your father like? And then there's silence. Because so many people try and equate God the Father with their earthly father. And because they've had a bad earthly father, maybe somebody was a disciplinarian, they expect that they've got to walk the line exactly, otherwise God is going to punish them or zap them. They think that God is this great bully. And it's so far from the truth. And if, and I say this very, very sincerely, if you're finding it difficult to see God as a great and wonderful Father, and it may be linked to your relationship with your earthly father that you were disappointed in, please come and see Linda and myself. We would love to pray with you and set you free from that thing. God wants to set you free from all those things that bind us from understanding and knowing Him for who He is. So many people, unfortunately, see the bad things that happen to them as punishment from God. God doesn't punish people. People suffer the consequences very often of bad choices. But God doesn't punish people. Why should He? God doesn't send people to hell. People, by the fact that they don't choose Jesus, they are choosing to go to hell. In James 1:16 it says, do not be deceived, my dear friends. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect present comes from God. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by His turning. In other words, what James is saying in this strange verse is that God's goodness is so overwhelmingly shining out of Him, glorying out of Him, that it doesn't matter which side He turns, there will always be glory shining around Him. There's no shadow. He doesn't have... God's got no shadow, because His goodness just emanates from Him in every direction. Amen. That's what James is saying. And verse 18 says, by His own will, God will, listen to this, by God's own will, He brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should be first place among all His creatures. I want you to get this in your head. I want you to say after me, I am. First place among
all God's creatures.
Do you know how special you are?
Amen.
And being so special is because God wants to favor you. And the question I need to ask is, do you believe that God wants to do this for you as an individual?
Amen.
Do you really believe that? I want to close with quoting Matthew 9:28-29. When Jesus had gone indoors, two blind men came to Him and He asked them, do you believe that I can heal you? Yes, sir, they answered. Jesus touched their eyes and said, let it happen then, just as you believe. And that's just one verse where Jesus said to people, according to your faith, according to your belief, you will receive. Now, if those people had said, well, I'm not quite sure, Jesus said, according to your faith, and they would never have received their sight. But my brother, my sister, I'm telling you that, that little illustration is that if you truly believe the that God wants to pour His favor into your life. God wants to help you live a wonderful life. Not problem-free, but a life where you know that God is in charge.
Amen.
Then I'm going to say to you that Jesus, as Jesus said to them people, accordingly to your faith, let it be. I can't give you God's favor. He can. He wants to. And He's saying to you today, through the Word and through me, you've got to believe. You've got to, in order to receive, you've got to believe. And I'm asking you to exercise the same kind of faith that the day that you stood before somebody or you knelt on your knees like I did and said, Lord, I need to be forgiven of my sin. Please take away my sin. Set me free. And the same kind of faith that you exercise then, when you go home this afternoon or tonight before you go to bed, if you've never done this before, if you've always or difficult had difficulties in believing that God wants to favor you, kneel and go do something. Just go to a place quietly and say, Lord, help me to believe to receive your favor in my life. And when you get up your knees, expect God's favor.
Amen.
And then what you do is you go and speak about God's favor. Very often, and I know that Angus used to do this as well, the moment you accept the Lord Jesus and your Christ as your Savior, you say, go and tell two people that you don't know at all, just tell them, today I received Jesus into my life. I want you to do the same. If you got up from your knees, you've ended that prayer by asking God's favor, not only live with that expectation, go to somebody and say, you know what, from today I'm going to expect God's favor in my life. And then when you step out tomorrow morning or wherever, and you have to go and do something, you have to go to the bank, to the post office, wherever, ask for God's favor. We walked into Food Lovers Market yesterday or the day before, and as we got to the place where that is huge pumpkins, special, R8.95 for a big pumpkin, we got there just in time. No, that's God's favor. All the other people say, what a bargain, what a bargain. No, but with our mindset, we say, God's favor.
Yes.
And you have to have that mindset, that no matter what happens in your life, expect God to pull some strings for you.
Hallelujah.
All right. You're going to get tired of me talking about this. But you're going to hear it. As I said to you last Sunday, somebody said, say something and say it well. And I'm trying to say it as well as I can. Because I want you to be so excited that when you walk through the door, you must be buzzing.
Hallelujah.
And when you walk out, you must be on fire.
Amen.
Amen. Let us just pray together. Father God, we just want to thank you this morning for your presence here with us. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we know that we know that you want to favor us. And Father, I pray that in everything we do, we can expect favor. Lord, and when this afternoon we book Melinda's seat on the flight in preparation for a trip tomorrow, we're going to ask for favor that you will find just the right seat to sit next to the right person that doesn't talk too much. Lord, that everything will go well because we're expecting your favor in our life in every way. So thank you, Lord. We pray that you'll just bless us today. Stand by me. She's going home tomorrow. Unfortunately, I just want to pray that the Lord will take us safely. Father, we just thank you for the real joy and pleasure that we've had to have our daughter here with us. Lord, she is such a blessing. And we pray, God, that this blessing that she is will pour over into her family, with her husband and her two kids, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it possible for her to be here. Thank you for the favor of bringing her in for this time. Now, God, I pray that tomorrow indeed you'll have a good journey. And she'll find everything okay when she gets home, that she'll have a joyful reunion with her family. So sien haar moldelik, Here, moldelik, dat die guns oor haar uitgestort mag word. In Jesus' naam. Amen. Ignite the flame.
restore.